This is James Corbett of the Corbett Report. It's the 25th of June, 2009, and joining me today is Paul Craig Roberts. Mr. Roberts was the Assistant Secretary of the Treasury during President Reagan's first term and a former Associate Editor of the Wall Street Journal. He has held numerous academic appointments at prestigious universities such as Georgetown and Stanford, and was even inducted into the French Legion of Honor in 1987. His newly updated and expanded book, The Tyranny of Good Intentions, is available from Three Rivers Press. Paul Craig Roberts, it's an honor to talk with you today, and thank you for joining me on the Corbett Report.
You're welcome.
Well, Mr. Roberts, I've been following your analysis and your commentary on a number of subjects, from the economic crisis to the war on terror, for many years now. But today I wanted to talk with you specifically about an incredible and very informative series of articles that you've been writing for sites such as Infowars.com, Vdare.com, and OpEdNews.com about the recent Iranian parliamentary elections. Let's break down some of the lies, manipulations, and media spin that you've uncovered in those articles. And for the listeners out there who have been relying solely on the controlled corporate media in the U.S. or the state-run media in Canada or in Britain, let's break down some of the information about the Iranian elections. And what can you tell us about the difference between the way the media is portraying these elections and what actually took place?
Well, the way the media in the American media, and I assume the British, is playing the elections bears no relationship to any reality. It's a disinformation campaign designed to further isolate and discredit the ruling Iranian government. And it's achieving that effect. I don't think it was ever intended to overthrow the regime. If it was, I think the CIA and the PSYOPs crowd underestimated the strength of the regime. But it certainly has discredited and isolated the regime. There's so many things people don't understand. One is, for example, it's an Islamic regime, and the president who is allowed to stand for election is an underling. He's really an administrator and a spokesman for the country, and he administers the government. But the policy is in the hands there are several groups of these ayatollahs that are staggered, and there's a top group and another group and another group, and that's really the rule. It's kind of like the old Soviet system, a central committee, a politburo, and then a supreme leader. And so what people need to understand is that if the ayatollahs do not approve of a candidate for president, they don't put him on the ballot. And Mousavi was a pillar of the establishment. He was the prime minister in the government immediately following Khomeini's overthrow of the Shah. He was a very conservative prime minister, and he has been fingered by the deputy chief of naval operations, Admiral Lyons, and by this CIA operative, this Middle East CIA agent that they made a movie about. Bear, I think, is his name. Both of them have fingered Mousavi as the butcher of Beirut. He was the man responsible for the blowing up of the Marine barracks, in which we lost 220 Marines and a total of 241 U.S. Military people. He was responsible for the bombing of the American embassy in Beirut. He was responsible for bombing of the American naval base in Naples. And all of this is in the press and known. It was in Time magazine just a few days ago. It was on Congressional Quarterly. their politics, online publication. And so what has happened is the American media have turned the butcher of Beirut with American blood all over his hands into an American hero. Now, why did Mousavi challenge this election? Well, after serving 8 years as prime minister, he was somehow sidelined and moved out of the officials who would exercise upon the government. And I suspect he's harbored animosity and resentments and became disaffected. And his main backer is Rafsanjani, another one of the high mucky mucks, and the one that that this current president, Ahmadinejad, defeated in the previous election. And so the notion, and in fact he defeated, that is, Ahmadinejad defeated Rafsanjani by the same margin that he defeated Mousavi. And since Rafsanjani is seen, and Mousavi are seen as the same, there's no reason he didn't defeat the stand-in man by the same margin that he defeated the other candidate. So all of that notion of the rigged election is ridiculous, because in Iran there's no reason for a rigged election, because the Ayatollahs decide who goes on the ballot, and they only put people on the ballot that they approve of to be president. And I think they misjudged Mousavi and that he had hidden his disaffection. And another element in this is, so there was a struggle. There is a struggle within the ruling Ayatollah ranks. and that's just part of mankind, you know. We see it in our own political parties, how the candidates for nomination by the Republicans or Democrats are at each other's throat, their supporters screaming accusations against one another, and then finally one is chosen, and then they get behind him and do the same thing to the other party's candidate. So it's nothing specific to Iran about the splits and disagreements among the Ayatollahs. But the CIA has exploited that. And they have also exploited the disaffection of a relatively small percentage of the Iranian youth, mainly in Tehran, who are secularized and westernized, and they object to the strict Islamic moral codes that interfere with their personal life, the dress codes that prevent the women from showing off their figures and their beauty and their sexual attractiveness, and the sexual segregation that is imposed. And they see so much on Western television, and that's the kind of life they want to have. So they are genuinely disaffected, and that's mainly who was in the streets. And so they were easy to manipulate. A third element that people don't know is that the Bush administration in May of 2007 signed an order instructing the CIA to destabilize the Iranian regime. This is, I give all kinds of sites to this information in my columns. It's not disputed. It was reported on ABC television. It was reported by the famous investigative reporter Seymour Hersh in The New Yorker. It was reported in The London Telegraph. It's just known, period. I mean, it's not disputed. In fact, the government's proud of it, that we and we even know the sum. The initial sum appropriated was $400 million to purchase protest and destabilization and to fund the various Iranian splinter terrorist groups. There are a lot of, not a lot, but there are other ethnic groups within Iran opposed to the two main groups. And there are terrorist groups associated with those, and they are funded with U.S. government money. Which includes, of course, the National Endowment for Democracy, which is our main funding mechanism for interfering in foreign elections. We used it in Serbia, we used it in Georgia and Ukraine, we used it in the former Soviet Central Asian republics, though not without much, not with much success there, but with success in Georgia and Ukraine, where we managed to get puppet governments in place. So all of that comes together in these protests, and that's why they happen. You have a disaffected senior pillar of the Iranian establishment, the Butcher of Beirut, manipulated by non-governmental operations, organizations, non-governmental organizations funded by the National Endowment for the Humanities, for Democracy. And we know this because one of them has written it, and it's available in I cited in my column. So Kenneth Timmerman says that we've been, and he himself has one of these organizations funded by the National Endowment for Democracy. The function, the explicit function of Timmerman's organization is to, I think it's the end of Obama's diplomatic initiative. He will say, of course, that, well, how can we have a diplomatic initiative with a country that rigs elections and kills its own people? And of course, the U.S. media is continuing. CNN, which seems to be focused entirely on the young woman who was assassinated by a sniper, and they all blamed the Iranian government. Well, this is a dead giveaway. That is a disinformation campaign. The Iranian government has nothing to gain from killing some uninfluential, unknown. If the Iranian government is going to use violence, it's going to put the Revolutionary Guard in the streets and clear them. And if they have to kill everybody, they will. But it doesn't stop a protest.
Well, absolutely. That is a sad truth, and one that you point to and point out very well. Mr. Roberts, it seems our line from Japan is breaking up a little, so we'll have to end the conversation here. But where can people go to find out more information about yourself and your writing?
Yes. Well, I enjoyed talking to you, Corbett, and I wish you success in making people aware of how they're going to, because, look, it was only 10 years with the Georgia. And it wasn't long ago that we underwent this with the alleged weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. So it seems like we're just perpetually gullible. And so that winds it up for me.
All right. Okay, thank you very much, and the best of luck for all your future endeavors.